tower, your name is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, there's nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill our hearts today. Strong and mighty tower, your name is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name,
but your name. Welcome to church this beautiful Sabbath. I know that the sky turned gray after yesterday, but aren't you glad that we can be in here where we can just sing praises to God? And, you know, God says that he inhabits our praise. So we're just going to have him, we're just ask him to inhabit our praise today.
You will see your Lord coming in a few more days. Hear that band of heavenly music come sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising.
In a few more days. Hear that band of heavenly music come sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over
in a few more days. Hear that band of heavenly music come sounding through the air. You will see your Lord coming in a few more days. Hear that band of heavenly music come sounding through the air.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is faith and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending.
10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name.
Shabbat Shalom. Oh, that was wonderful. It's good to have each one of you here today, especially this is a high Sabbath because we're just closing off a week of prayer from the students. And so we welcome each and every one of you here that are here today and hope you come back again and again and again and again and again and again, even after your kiddies graduate. We love to have you here, mustaches and all. You know what I mean, Terry? Yeah, it's good to have you here. Couple of announcements I have for today. This afternoon on this windy, wonderful Sabbath day, if you like to pray and if you like to glow, meet at the flagpole and Pastor Sid Hardy will be taking students to knock on people's door, pray with them, and hand out glow tracts. And I think there's a box of Steps to Christ that's going along with them as well. So that's an exciting thing. Get your adrenaline going for Jesus. Also on your bulletin, our pastoral prayer will be given to us by Cheyenne Welsh. And it's nice to have Canadian prayers once in a while, too. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah, some amens back there. Or should I say amens? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm sorry, Paula. I was going to say men A, but anyway. Speaking of blessing, students, have we been blessed this week, my pastor, Stephen Lundquist, and Jesus? It's been really, really wonderful. And Pastor Stephen Lundquist is pastoring at Portland Adventist Academy right now, and or shall I say Bible teacher and all those good things. And woohoo, it's a fun job, isn't it? Yeah. He graduated from UCA in 1999. Wow. And it's good to see him sharing Jesus. And Pastor John, you have something to say regarding Pastor P.H.
Pastor P.H.
Yeah.
Stephen.
Yeah.
Stephen, why don't you come on up here, brother? Most of the students know that Stephen and I went to college together, and when Stephen contacted us and we contacted him about the need for a week of prayer, I said, right on, man, come on and share with us about Jesus and about those great things. And the students, the faculty, we are all here, have really, really appreciated you sharing with us this week. And Kendra, why don't you come on up? We have a little something for you that we kind of... banded together.
Wow.
And we wanted to make sure that UCA is still represented back down in Portland. So when you are thirsty, you can have a great old UCA water bottle there to put on your desk at PAA. When you are having Spirit Week at PAA, we want to make sure that you are decked out well with a lion-printed UCA t-shirt there.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I search for this year. And when it gets a little chilly in Portland, as I know sometimes it does, I know it's mainly wet. I'm sorry, we don't have any Gore-Tex gear right now. But we've got you also a wonderful UCA sweatshirt to sport Portland.
Perfect.
And don't wear it just in your garage. Okay?
Absolutely.
That's what I wish for you to do, is to let them know that you are a proud graduate of UCA.
Absolutely.
Oh, and also here's a little card for you and something in there for you to take your lovely wife, Kendry, who is also a UCA graduate of 1999. There. So we're very grateful, very thankful that you've been here to share Jesus with us. And are you done up here?
I'm done.
Okay.
All right.
And let's one more thing before I have a prayer over you. There is communion next Sabbath, home leave Sabbath, May 4. Just want to let our members know that we will have that communion service. Let's pray together this morning as we start our service. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for this Sabbath day that you've given us. And I want to thank you for the ministry that Stephen has given us this week. And I pray that you will bless our service today. Holy Spirit, come and be a part of this building. Be a part of our lives. And may we recognize once again that the most important thing is Jesus in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, John.
You're not done?
I thought I was done, but I'd like you to go in your Bibles, and we'll look at our text for today in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus, the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done and rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. God bless his word today. Amen.
We always have a theme song when we do Week of Prayer here at school, so we're going to sing our theme song for you. And I would like to invite you guys to stand.
Take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found. All that I have, I give to you, O God. Take my hands and make them clean. Keep my heart in your wrist. have your way. My whole life is yours. I give it all. Surrender to your name. And forever I will pray. Have your way. Have your way.
Stand on open wide. Oh, I am yours and you are mine. Oh, here I stand on open wide. Oh, I am yours, and you are mine.
Oh, oh, oh,
here I stand, arms open wide.
Oh, 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 oh,
I am yours, and you are mine.
Thank you, guys. You can be seated.
Happy Sabbath. Today, our offering will be for Upper Columbia Conference Share the Life. Share the Life is a conference-wide ministry encouraging church members to foster a lifestyle in sharing Jesus with others. Former UC President Robert Folkenberg Jr. says, "What am I talking about is that very real challenge, day in and day out, of remaining sharp and focused on the mission of which Christ has called us. Spiritually responsible for the primary mission field comprising the vast inland empire region of the state of Washington, the governing body of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, located in Spokane, equips churches with a fervor akin to Nehemiah's ministry to share the life of God to his world." Okay, our offering today is in this huge geographic zone of ministry reaffirms a partnership with conference leadership to train members and outreach coordinators to share the life of God with the passion of a modern Nehemiah to build God's spiritual kingdom. Will the deacons come forward? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Sabbath. Thank you for this opportunity to give and help us to be able to give not only what we can in money, but in what we can do in our actions. In your name, amen.
To thee.
Bow your heads and close your eyes and fold your hands. But personally, I think that the most important part of prayer is that we bow our hearts and that we talk to God between him and you. And so if you would like to kneel, please do. If you want to bow your head, please do. But please, I ask all of you to bow your hearts and just talk to God. And if you have any specific burdens that you would like to bring before him and you would like to come up to the front, please do that as well at this time. Hello, God. It's us again. And it's so amazing that you're still listening. No matter how many times we kneel down and say hello, you always say hello back to us. And that's so incredible because you have an entire universe to take care of, and yet you focus on each of us, just us. And thank you. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the sunshine outside. And even though it's a little cloudy today and it's a little bit windy, Lord, we've had an amazing week. Thank you so much that the grass is green and the flowers are coming out and we can see what you can do with a dirty world. Turn it so beautiful. And Lord, I ask that you remind us every day that, you know, it's the same with us. That we can be dead and dirty and just not looking very nice. And you cover us with your whiteness, with your purity, and then you wake us back up and we're new and we're fresh and we're clean and we're beautiful. Lord, I want to ask that you be with the people who are hurting today. Everybody has something on their hearts that they don't like, something that's bothering them. Lord, I ask that you take that, and Lord, I ask that they release it to you. I ask that you speak to them and tell them that you're right beside them, even if sometimes they can't feel you, that they need to know
that you're always there and that you're never, ever going to leave them, because you are their child. You love them so much. You love everything about them. Lord, I ask that you be with the people who are sick. I know there's a lot just getting over from winter. And Lord, I ask that you heal them and that you restore them to the life that they had before. And Lord, I ask that you just help them to know that you're the one who did that. I ask, Lord, that you be with us in the coming week and help us to be Christians every single minute of our lives. And not just today when we step foot in this sanctuary, but when we step out, help us to take the love that you show us. Help us to bring you outside of this building into every aspect of our lives. Lord, I want to thank you so much that we are here and that we're here together and that we can worship you as a family. And Lord, I ask that you show yourself to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's now time for our children's story. For all of those little children coming forward, I know we'll have some young at heart as well up here, but we also take up an offering for our children's school, for the elementary school behind us. So it's time for our children's story, and Pastor Stephen will be having our children's story for us.
All right, boys and girls, I'm going to ask you three questions right now. Are you ready for three questions? Question number one, how many of you have ever been in a boat before? How many of you have been in a boat? Oh, very good. You can put your hands down now. Question number two, how many of you have been fishing before? Let me see your hand. Oh, some of you have been fishing. Good, good. You can put your hands down. Last question. How many of you have ever been to Canada before? Anyone ever been to Canada? Whoa, some of you are international travelers. That's fantastic. I am going to tell you a story that involves a boat, fishing, and Canada. This is a story that happened to my father-in-law when he was about 10 years old, and he and his brother woke up one morning, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and they said, let's go fishing. And so they packed a lunch so they'd have something to eat while they're out there, and they packed all of their fishing gear, and they got in the boat, and they rowed out into the middle of the lake, and they started fishing. And they fished for an hour, and they caught nothing. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. They ate their lunch, fishing, nothing. They had been out on the water for 6 hours, and they hadn't caught a single fish. And they were feeling so sad. And one of them said, well, we should probably go home now. We've been out on the water all day long. And so they said, okay. And they were just putting their fishing gear away when they heard a splash. And then they heard a thud. And then they heard a flap, 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 flap. And they both jumped back. No way. You see a big, long rainbow trout fish had jumped up in the air. Oh, in just the wrong spot, or if you ask those guys, just the right spot, and it came down instead of in the water. Guess where it came down? Right in the bottom of their boat. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? They'd fished all day, nothing, and then a fish jumps into the bottom of their boat. We call that a surprise, right? We call that a gift, and we call that grace. We call that grace. When God gives us something we don't deserve, we call that grace. And today is Sabbath. And Sabbath is like a big gift fish that Jesus gives us every day. A gift where we can take a whole day to be with our families and to spend extra time with Jesus. Are you glad he gave us that gift today? How many of you are glad he gave us that gift? I'm so glad. Should we pray to him now and thank him for the gift? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you surprise us with good gifts. Thank you for this Sabbath that is a reminder of your grace and your love for each boy and each little girl up here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming to my story. You can go back to your seats now. Hello, thank you for helping me with the story. Thank you for helping me with the story. Do you want to go to your daddy now? Do you want to go visit daddy now? Thank you so much. She's such a sweetie. I just love her. I just love you. Yeah, you're a sweetheart. Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to each one of you. Thank you, students. Thank you, Pastor John, for the very kind gifts that you gave me. Indeed, I will wear those with pride, with pride. You know, PAA, our mascot, is the cougar. And our principal has a saying. He says, once a cougar, always a cougar. Well, the same is true here. Once a lion, always a lion. So I will wear that with pride. Thank you so much for that. Students, can we do this one more time. We have to do this one more time as our prayer. Let's bow our heads and sing together. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. God, you've been so good to us this week. Each and every day as we've gathered here, we have sensed that you are here, but not just here, but dwelling within us. And I pray that today would be no different. As we now open the Word of God, would you speak? Would the living Word transform our hearts and our minds in the name of Jesus? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin today risking offending at least some of you, perhaps all of you, because I'm certain that there are some people in here who would call yourselves dog people. You're dog people, you just love dogs. And there are some people, of course, that would call yourselves cat people. So at the risk of offending some or all of you, listen, it's my last day. I'm out of here after this. Here we go. Here we go. I begin today with excerpts from the diary of a dog. This is a dog writing his diary. Here it is. Here it is. 8 a.m. Oh boy, dog food, my favorite. 9:30 a.m. Oh boy, a car ride, my favorite. 9:40 a.m. Oh boy, a walk, my favorite. 10:30 a.m. Oh boy, another car ride, my favorite. 11:30 a.m. Oh boy, more dog food, my favorite. 12 p.m. Does this sound like your dog yet? Oh boy, the kids, my favorite. 1 p.m., oh boy, the yard, my favorite. 4 p.m., oh boy, the kids again, my favorite. 5 p.m., oh boy, dog food again, my favorite. 5:30 p.m., oh boy, mom, my favorite. 6 p.m., oh boy, playing ball, my favorite. 8:30 p.m., oh boy, sleeping in my master's bed. You know who you are. My favorite, my favorite. And then we move now to excerpts from the diary of a cat. Day 283 of my captivity. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. They dine lavishly on fresh meat while I'm forced to eat dry cereal. I'm sustained by the hope of escape and the mild satisfaction I derive from ruining a few pieces of furniture. Tomorrow I may eat another houseplant. I attempted to kill my captors this morning by weaving through their walking feet. Nearly succeeded. Must try this strategy at the top of the stairs. Seeking to disgust and repulse these vile oppressors, I once again induced myself to vomit on their favorite chair. Must try this on their bed. To display my diabolical disposition, I decapitated a mouse and deposited the headless body on the kitchen floor. They only cooed and condescended, patting my head and calling me, quote, a strong little kitty. Not working according to plan. During a gathering of their accomplices, they placed me in solitary confinement. I overheard that my confinement was due to my power of allergies. Must learn what this means and how to use it to my advantage. I'm convinced the other household captives are flunkies, perhaps snitches. The dog is routinely released and seems naively happy to return. He is, no doubt, a half-wit. The bird speaks with the humans regularly, must be an informant. I am certain he reports my every move. Due to his current placement in the metal cage, his safety is assured. But I can wait. It is only a matter of time. Ah, the day of a dog and the day of a cat. One content, one conniving. One at peace, the other at war. Same house, same circumstances, same master, yet two drastically different attitudes. So, this morning, are you a dog or a cat? And as you listen more specifically to the following scripture, which are you? A scripture, perhaps, that you've heard many times before, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. The Word of God says this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. As you hear these words being read, are these words of confinement, of captivity, or are these words of joy and freedom? Today on this Sabbath, we're going to talk about Sabbath. That's what we're going to do, and since we are an academic institution here, we will do it in an academic fashion. Who, what, when, where, why, and how of Sabbath. Here we go. We begin with the who of Sabbath, and if we would turn back, which we won't right at this moment, you heard it read by Pastor Fred just a moment ago, but you will find that Sabbath was meant as a gift for all people. For all people. In fact, I'm fascinated because as you read of God creating the Sabbath, note that he gives the gift of the Sabbath before the fall. Before the fall. We think of the Sabbath in our current context, and we think, well, of course, we need a day of rest. We just go so hard all through the week. We need a day where we can come apart. There's so many distractions in life, everything we have to think about. Of course, we need a day to focus. But God, even before humans fell, said, you need a day just with me. And he created the Sabbath as a gift for all people. We now move to the what. Sabbath comes from our word. Thank you, Pastor Fred, for giving us a bit of Hebrew this morning. Shabbat, and it literally means to rest or cease. Rest or cease. And of course, from time to time, you might hear someone say, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. And it's translated something like this: may you have peace while you cease. Yeah? May you have peace while you cease. Shabbat means rest. It means stop. How about the when? Well, as we turn in Scripture to the creation account, we see God creating, and at the end of every day, It says something like this: there was evening and there was morning day one. There was evening, there was morning day two. There was evening, there was morning day three. If you and I were writing that, we would say something like this: there was morning and there was evening day one. There was morning and there was evening day two. Because we calculate our days differently. The biblical way, the creation way of measuring a day is that a day begins when the sun goes down and lasts until the sun goes down once again. That is why we welcome Sabbath on Friday when the sun goes down. My father has always been an early to bed, early to rise sort of a gentleman. And when we were kids, if we could get him to stay up until 10 p.m., we were so excited because that was really late for Dad. And so every year when New Year's Eve came, you could just see the look on his face. Because the whole family, of course, wanted to stay up until midnight, because that's how we calculate, till midnight to celebrate New Year's. And his limit was 10 p.m. And so most of the time we'd be watching the, you know, this ball fall in New York City, and we'd look around, we'd be going, Happy New Year, yay, and we'd look around, and where's Dad? Well, Dad snuck off to bed 2 hours ago. But I remember one particular New Year's Eve, I could hear my dad going through the house, and he was very, very excited, and he was yelling, Happy New Year, everybody! Happy New Year! Happy New Year! And I kind of looked around, and I checked my watch, and it was about 4:25 in the afternoon. And I went to him, and I said, Dad, what are you talking about? Happy New Year, it's just 4:25 in the afternoon. And he says, yes, exactly. And then he took that moment. He seized that opportunity to give me a brief sermon. He said, well, you see, the biblical way of reckoning days is that the next day does not begin at midnight, but instead it begins when the sun goes down. According to my calculations, as it is New Year's Eve, the sun has gone down. Happy New Year, son. I'm still not sure that works. But he was really excited about it, and he promptly went to bed that night at 9 p.m., the Sabbath begins when the sun goes down and ends when the sun goes down. It's really fascinating to study the way that the Jews keep Sabbath and have kept Sabbath. Our denomination just has a couple hundred years of Sabbath keeping, and there's so much rich, rich heritage that the Jewish people have for Sabbath. And one of the things that they do is they end Sabbath when three stars appear in the night sky, when three stars appear. And this is not kind of a situation where everybody's looking at their watch and, hey, did you check the bulletin to make sure we know exactly when the sun goes down? And, all right, 5, 4, 3, 2, and this is not, hey, send the kids outside, everybody fan out throughout the yard, look for stars, count them up, let us know when you get to three so Sabbath can be over. No, 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 no. You see, for the Jewish people, they think of Sabbath as a queen. Queen Sabbath is coming to visit. And because a queen is coming, you might do things a bit differently. Perhaps you'll clean the house just a bit or clean your dorm room just a bit, because after all, the queen is coming to visit. Perhaps it would even change a bit what you wear, because the queen is coming. Maybe you'll make some special foods. Why? Because Queen Sabbath is coming to visit. And Queen Sabbath comes on Friday night, and then into Saturday, Queen Sabbath stays for the day, and then the moment comes where Queen Sabbath is going to leave. And it's kind of like the relatives that you have that when they come to visit, you are truly sad when they leave. Not the other relatives that when it's time to go, you help them with their bags and you walk them out to the driveway. No, those relatives that you just, when it comes that time and they begin to pack their bags, you say, oh, I just wish you could stay a little longer. That's Queen Sabbath. And Queen Sabbath begins to leave as the sun goes down. And it's as if they're reaching out and grabbing her by the coat and saying, no, stay just a little bit longer. Don't leave quite yet. And so the sun goes down. And they say, no, not yet. And then one star appears. Queen Sabbath is leaving. Two stars. There she goes. Three stars. And finally, Queen Sabbath has left. And now we will begin waiting for her when she arrives next week. The win of the Sabbath begins, of course, Friday when the sun goes down, ends Saturday when the sun goes down. How about the where? Where does Sabbath happen? Well, it's fascinating because as you read Scripture, the first time that God ever calls something holy, the first time he uses the word kadosh, holy, that word is not applied to a thing, a physical object. It's not a church or a temple or even a mountain. Instead, the first time God uses the word holy and calls something holy, he applies that to time. The Sabbath is holy time, which means it's accessible to all. To all. God in his wisdom said, I'm going to create something and it's going to be holy time, and no matter where you are in the world, whether you're rich or poor, you can enjoy the Sabbath. Finally, now we move to the why. The why of Sabbath. Students, I want you to picture this for just a moment with me. I want you to imagine that your school day starts at 7:15 in the morning, which isn't that hard for most of you to imagine. So your school day starts at 7:15, and just to make it easy, let's say that school runs all day long until 7:15 p.m. That's pretty close probably to what you do anyway. So we'll call it that. So 7:15 in the morning until 7:15 at night, 12 hours of class. Okay, now let's imagine that you meet for class on a Sunday. My bad. I know you do sometimes. I know. I'm so sorry. I know you do sometimes. But let's imagine that you meet on a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. And then the next week you do it again. And again. And again. Thanksgiving comes. Sorry. You do it again. Christmas vacation, that moment you look forward to going home. No way, you're going to school every single day, including Christmas Day. Spring break, you're not going on mission trips. You're not going home. You're not going on vacation with your family. You have school. Some of the teachers are looking at me just with these eyes like, no, don't do this to us. Every single day, at least there's summer, right? At least, no. No, throughout the summer, every single day. 365 days a year, you're in school, 7:15 a.m. until 7:15 p.m. For a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, you have not had one single day off from school, not one. And then your principal, Mr. Winslow, steps up one day. And he calls the whole school together and he says, I have an important announcement. The staff and I have been talking, and we've made a decision. And we feel so strongly about this decision that this is not optional. This is a new school rule, a new commandment here at UCA. From this day forth, every Saturday, you must not go to school. You must take a day off. And of course, all of you students would react by saying, oh, they are so restrictive here. Are you serious? Oh, are you kidding me? You'd be standing on your chairs cheering, woo! Freedom, finally, after years of going to school every single day. We get one day per week to rest. To rest. Remember the original audience that heard the Ten Commandments. Here are people who didn't get a day off, didn't get summer vacation. They were slaves. Every single day they worked for years, some of them their entire life, without any day off. Slavery. It makes God's command sound a little different, if you think of it that way, doesn't it? All of a sudden you hear these words, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Freedom. Freedom. We now move to the how. Oh, we love discussing this, don't we? The how of Sabbath. So here it is. Sabbath is here. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? Well, I'm going to give you just a little start on thinking about this, and perhaps maybe I'll give you a bit of homework at the end. So let me give you just a little start first. The how of Sabbath. What do we do? It's Sabbath. What now? What now? I believe that if you search through Scripture, you will find a number of principles for Sabbath keeping. A number of principles for Sabbath keeping. And one of them is actually the first word of the fourth commandment. And that is the word, remember. Remember. You see, whatever I choose to do on Sabbath, I want it to be something where as I'm going through my day, I don't ever get to that point where I go, oh, wait a minute, it's... I totally forgot it was Sabbath. Instead, I want to arrange my day, plan my day in such a way that at all times I can remember that it's Sabbath. I was about 5 years old, and it was a Sabbath afternoon, and my mom was taking some literal Sabbath rest. And so my dad was out, and he was enjoying Sabbath outdoors. And my mom woke up from her nap, and she heard something outside of her window. And this disturbed her just a bit. And so she opened her curtains, and there was a man in the tree outside her window. And she became a bit more disturbed at this point. And as she sort of squinted through sleepy eyes, she recognized that this man was wearing a long golden bathrobe. And she was even more disturbed. And as she looked a bit closer, she recognized that this man wearing the golden bathrobe was her husband, my father. And he's up in the plum tree. And she processed that for just a moment. The plum tree is on the side of our house, which means everybody that's driving by on the road sees my dad up in a plum tree wearing a golden bathrobe. And she asked really quite a logical question through the window. What are you doing? And we both looked at her. I was there standing on the ground. We both looked at her, and I decided it was a question that was easy enough for me to answer, and so I did. And I said, well, we are playing Jesus and Zacchaeus. And my dad, all 6'4" of him, was playing the role of Zacchaeus in his golden bathrobe in the plum tree. And my mom looked at my dad, and in a moment of inspiration, she said, Chris, you come down. Because you're coming in my house right now. Right now. Ah. Ah. I was so blessed that day to have a father who went way, way outside of his comfort zone so that I would remember. And so I would get it. So I would connect with this reality that Sabbath is not simply another day. It's not simply an ordinary day. It's an extraordinary day. Now, I'd encourage you at some point, I'd encourage all of you, students, adults, faculty, staff, I'd encourage all of you at some point, to actually go, I like to use BibleGateway.com, go there, put Sabbath in there and search and make a list of principles for how to keep Sabbath. And then allow the Holy Spirit to help you and your family apply those principles to how you keep Sabbath. So I've just given you one, and that's remember. Whatever we do today, may it be something that as we go throughout our day, Sabbath is in our minds, that we remember, that we remember. I end with a question. How do the Ten Commandments begin? How do the Ten Commandments begin? Most of us probably immediately think, oh, thou shalt have... Wait. How do the Ten Commandments begin? Here's how they begin. I'm going to read it to you straight from Exodus chapter 20. Because here's how they begin. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That is how the Ten Commandments begin. And it's a game changer. Because God says, you did nothing to deserve this. My gift of grace and mercy to you is that I reached down my powerful hand. I pulled you from slavery and brought you into freedom. That's a gift. And now I want you to stay free. I want you to continue experiencing this freedom. And so here are commands that will help you to live the abundant life that I so desperately want you to enjoy. That is what Sabbath is all about. This week, we've said over and over again that the most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. And on this Sabbath, I can assure you once more that the most important thing has not changed. The most important thing is Jesus. And Jesus, who says, I saved you. I rescued you from slavery. I did that. It's a gift. It's grace. And every Sabbath, every 7 days, I give you one day. A day that you set aside, a reminder to accept the fact. To accept the fact that you've been accepted and rest in the work that Jesus has done on your behalf. That today is a Jesus that I want to say yes to. Father God, thank you for this day of grace, this day of freedom. This day that reminds us that we can stop working for your love. that you've already given it to us and continue to give it to us every single day. May today be a day that we accept that. May today be a day that we say yes to your Son, Jesus Christ. And may today be a day that we remember that the most important thing is to keep the most important thing. The most important thing. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said, amen.
Please stand.
To the students of UCA. From the time I walked on this campus, you've just loved me. And it's just incredible. It's just incredible to know that when we lift up Jesus, that the Holy Spirit moves. And I'm not soon going to forget this week together, and specifically as we made commitments last night. As soon as this service is over, I'm going to fly down the road because I have a brand new niece who was born exactly 1 week ago today, and I have not yet met her. So I'm very excited about that, but I'd love to say farewell to you at the door as you leave today. Let's pray one last time. Father God, as we leave this place, we invite you to go with us, to dwell inside of our hearts. Live through us. In Jesus' name, amen.